One person that comes to church for the miracle. Three, four people come to church for a miracle. I think in certain times and aspects of life, we all need miracles. We always need God to move and do something for us. Who believes that? Amen. I want to talk about that this morning. The title of my message really bugs me, getting titles. Too stuck to get up. Too stuck to get up. How's that? Too stuck to get up. You ever been that stuck you just can't get up? Hey? I remember once I was crossing a creek up north. We had a mobile home, but it wasn't this one of these fancy ones. It was these $4,000 ones that you put together yourself, you know. And we just, on a wing and a prayer, we just kept going around Australia. We actually got around Australia. We left with a tank of petrol, $6.49. In them days, you could get 49 cents. $6.49, tank of petrol, and we got all the way around Australia. And we never went on the dole, not once. All the way around Australia after 10 months, seeing God move and do miraculous things. We used to go through stuff that we didn't realize we weren't supposed to go over. We were crossing this creek once in our Ford Transit mobile home, and then the water came through the doors because it was that deep. And I went, oh my gosh, this is pretty deep. And so I said, from then on, we'll not do that. We'll just wade out and make sure how deep it is. So me being brave, I sent Matilda first. In case there's any crocodiles, you know. So anyway, she's wandering out and all of a sudden she disappears about that deep. I went, that's a bit deep. We'll not cross that one tonight. And then it was my turn. And it's amazing when you're crossing things, you get caught up in the unexpected. And sometimes, you know, you get caught up in things and you need a miracle. I was going down this one-way lane road up north and they had blocked the road off. And the policeman was in the car with the side and he was telling people to go, one come, then one go. So I was waved on and this massive six-wheel tourist truck took off from the other side. And the cops chasing him, trying to slow him down because it was my turn. He wouldn't slow down and he ran me off the road. And I'm sliding down this embankment in my Ford Transit with two kids and my wife in there, thinking, Jesus, you got to help me here, because it was just mud from a flood. Jesus, you got to help me here. And all of a sudden, and I don't know how it happened, he stopped. My car rolled and it turned 360 degrees, big van, 360, on the side, mind you. And all of a sudden, I'm on the top of the embankment facing the right way again. And I don't know how it happened because I'm not a good driver like that. I'm not bad, but I can't do things like that. But, you know, God just does miraculous things in your hour of need. I want to encourage you with that this morning. Turn with me to the book of Mark. Where's my Bible? Over here. The book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. It's a story about a man that needed a miracle. It says, and again he entered Capernaum. Again he entered, I'll just get my book first. Matthew, Mark, chapter 2. And it says, and again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. I really believe God is going to do things in the church age today, in the hour we're living in, that the world is going to hear that Jesus is in the house. They need to hear Jesus is in the house. They need to see a move of God in the house of God. Amen. And immediately they was gathered together and they were no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. One translation says the whole city was at the door. That's how crowded it became, because they had heard something. They had experienced something of Jesus, and now they had heard that Jesus had come back again to Capernaum, and they wanted to meet this man. Amen. They wanted to meet this man that had turned their little town upside down with signs and wonders. Footnote hint, most signs and wonders Jesus did in the Bible were to draw a crowd. They were to draw a crowd so he could preach something to them. Amen. He could preach something to them. And then it says this, and they came, then they came to him. So the whole city's at the door. They wanted to hear the word that was being preached. And then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Say, carried by four men. This man was stuck. This man couldn't move. This man was not in a good place. Yet there's a whole crowd before him, and they were pressing at the door, and they were making no room for the man. Amen? They were making no room for the man. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof there where he was, so that they had broken through. They let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" The Pharisee never saw the miracle. They never even acknowledged the miracle. What they were concerned about was the protocol wasn't fulfilled. They never saw the miracle. They weren't happy for the man to get up out of his bed. They were celebrating that. What they were upset about, Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven you." I think that man wouldn't have given a hoot what Jesus said as he got up. He could have said, "Jump on one foot and turn around and do three twirls." He would have done it because his need was met. And sometimes we can get caught, consumed in the protocols of things, not experiencing the delivery of something because we're narrow-minded in what we expect God to do. Your God can move in any way he wants. You need to understand that. There is no formula for Jesus to move. The only formula he needs is a heart full of faith. Do you believe me? Which is it easier? Jesus had perceived that in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves. He said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your" where? Go to your where? Go to your own house. Go to your own house. Sometimes Jesus said, go to the priest. Sometimes he said, go and give an offering. But this man, he says, go to your house. Because the miracle that God wants to do in my life should affect my house. It should affect your house. Amen? Immediately he arose, took the bed, went out in the presence of all of them, and so that they were amazed and glorified God and said, "We've never seen anything like this. We've never seen anything like this." When you need a miracle, it's not enough to do what everyone else is doing. It's going to need me to do something radically different to what I'm doing to climb to a new level to get into his presence. It's crazy to think that if you've been doing the same old for years, expecting God to move and he hasn't moved, and expecting God to move again by doing the same old, sometimes you've got to get radical enough to say, "God, I have to get to another level in my faith, another level in my thinking, and bust through the ceiling that's stopping me from getting into your presence." Sometimes there's ceilings in our lives that hinder us getting through to Jesus. Doubt, unbelief, familiarity. Anyone ever experienced familiarity with Jesus? Familiarity. So familiar that we don't seek him. So familiar with him that we don't pray. So familiar with him, we don't even fear him. He's become a mate instead of the Son of God. What about lethargy? Can't be bothered. Lost my first love. Lost the passion of seeking him and his kingdom. A lethargicness gets around my spirit man. Because I'm so familiar, I don't seek. because I'm so familiar with him, it doesn't bother me. May I say this, I've got to bust through that ceiling to get into his presence. The miracle is not outside the door, the miracle is getting through the ceiling. I'm going to say that again, the miracle is not outside the door, the crowd was outside the door. But it took someone to bust through a ceiling to get into his presence to receive a miracle. I must break the ceilings that are around my life to get down into his presence. Amen? One of intimacy. You chuck your slide again, son. Breakthrough. A ceiling can be a ceiling of intimacy. With him and the other saints have excuse after excuse to become non-committal. When I was a young man, which wasn't that long ago, when I was a young man, Sundays was all-day church. It was not abnormal to do that. Sunday morning, then go to church Sunday afternoon, have fellowship Sunday during the Sunday evening, have fellowship Sunday afternoon with the saints. Sunday, my Sabbath, was all day. There was nothing abnormal about that at all. But the more people have been got busy because whatever the pressures of life have become, and don't get me wrong, I acknowledge there's pressures of life. It's true. People are working more, and especially Australians, are working more than ever before. Even according to world standards, the Australian people are working more hours than normal. But I must, in the midst of all that, have a priority. I must have my priority. I must have a Sabbath, whatever your Sabbath is, whatever you're allowed to have. If you're working away and you're up north, you might be working on a weekend, have your Sabbath Monday, Tuesday, whenever you make a Sabbath. Your Sabbath is your Sabbath. You give it to the Lord. Amen? But sometimes in the midst of all that, I can lose the intimacy of fellowship. And we need the intimacy of fellowship with one another and the intimacy of fellowship with Jesus, because I can get apathetic around my spirit and I can lose my edge. Amen? And even though you might be part of a team, you might be part of a church, you can still lose your edge. Anyone ever lost their edge? I've lost my edge. And if we're really honest, all of us have lost our edge sometime or another. We've got to pick it back up for ourselves and make sure that our God is seek ye first the kingdom. He's first. Amen. This man could no longer walk the way he once walked. He was paralytic. He had lost the strength and he became stuck. He became stuck. In fact, he became so stuck, he had to rely upon four men, four people. He lost his strength. He became stuck. He understood if he ran with the crowd's crowd mentality, nothing in his world would change. Hear me, you will always have people on the outside full of opinion, full of sayings, full of one-liners, full of stuff. You can be around the presence of God, yet not get into the presence of God. You're hearing me this morning. You can come to church and play church, but not be the church. And God wants us to be the church. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Living the life makes you the Christian. Bearing the fruit makes you the Christian. All this stuff is all the trimmings of the Christianity. But if this never existed, what would you do? Those on the outside would go looking for another miracle or another sign and go, wow, look at all that. Isn't that wonderful? He's done this and this and this. But if they don't stir their faith to go through their ceiling, they'll never get into his presence to receive their miracle. Hallelujah. Who needs a miracle? We need to break through our ceiling. We need to get up. And sometimes we're stuck. Sometimes we just haven't got the answer. Sometimes I know what I should do, but I've lost the strength to do it. This man couldn't walk, yet he knew where he should be. said to the four, get me on the roof. I'm not running with the crowd. I've got to get to Jesus. That's the desperation of a person that really wants to see the miracle happen in their life or their family. They've got to get to Jesus. I don't want to hear what the crowd's saying. I don't want to hear what my neighbor's saying. I've got to get to Jesus. And any good Christian man or woman always should point people they need to who? Jesus. Because he's the answer. Thanks, love. This man could no longer walk the way he once walked. He lost his strength. He became stuck. He understood if he ran with the crowd's mentality, nothing would change. He knew he had to get to Jesus. He had to reset his thinking, number one. He had to reset his thinking. Hear me, when you want to bust through your ceiling, the first place it starts, breakthrough, is here. It's here. You've got to get a revelation that your God wants to break through your ceiling. Amen? He had to go back to God's default. In other words, he had to fire something up in his spirit, man, and start getting back to his first love experience and start walking by faith, not by sight. He had to be willing. He's now willing, but he's stuck. He wants to, but he's still stuck. The man is stuck in his ways, but thank God he had enough people around him, enough community around with people that he could start saying, hey, I need some help here. I need some help. I'm stuck. I know what I should do. I just don't know how to do it. I'm stuck. I haven't got the strength. Can you help me? And when you ask for help, one of the greatest things that Christians struggle with is really asking for help. Because they think it's embarrassing, or they haven't got the right strength or the faith to do it. But he had built community. So therefore, he was vulnerable enough to trust the four men. That's what community does for you. Community does where you can be vulnerable but still be safe. Come on. You can be vulnerable but still be safe. This man was vulnerable, but he felt safe. They led him up into the roof. They bust through the roof and they lowered him down. He had built community. He had built trust. He had built a position in his life where he had friends that he could rely on. Amen? The man was stuck in his ways, but thank God he had enough people around him because community who cared for him and loved him to carry him in his season of need. All of us have seasons of... All of us have seasons of need. That's why community is vital. It is not optional for a Christian. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, or your strength and all your soul. Love your neighbor. In other words, he expects you to have neighbors. He expects you to have neighbors. Amen. Community life group is vital because in doing life, we are experiencing when we all experience the ceiling, we experience getting stuck. We all need to have someone giving me a hand with a loved one. I'm going to say that again because I mucked that right up. That's why community is vital. Life group is vital because in doing life, we all experience the ceiling. We all experience getting stuck. We all need at some time a hand of a loved one to lift me up and to get me to Jesus. I need someone. When I'm going through something and I'm pouring out garbage out of my mouth, I need people around me to say, stop it. You've got to get to Jesus. Stop what you're doing. You're going to muck up. It's going to sap you of life and strength. Don't go there. Don't go there in your head. Don't touch that thing. Don't go into that area of your life. Don't let them thoughts have permanency in your mind. Get to Jesus. You need Jesus. And if he's still stuck, you better believe it. You and I have to carry him. How do I carry him? Prayer. How else do I carry him? Fulfilling his physical needs. But I better learn to carry someone in prayer. Amen? Four men picked up a man that could not help himself to get him into the presence of the Lord. One of the ways of carrying someone and doing community, physical needs are met. Another is praying and believing for one another to carry them when they cannot carry themselves. It's helping them to reach a new level. It's enabling them to get into His presence. Hallelujah. I remember years and years and years ago, when I first got born again, when I came back to the Lord, this little old lady, some of you might know her name was Betty Griffiths. Does anyone know Betty? Remember Betty? She took it on herself to adopt me. When she was, when I got sick sometimes, she would tell Matilda, out the way, I've got to give him some chicken soup. She was like my mum. And then I used to have sometimes bad dreams and nightmares and I'd suffer. And she would stay up all night praying for me. Then she'd ring me up in the morning. She goes, it's all right now. The devil's gone. She goes, there was a devil on your shoulder. Now he's not there. He's not whispering anything anymore. You're all right. She would intercede for me. She would pray me through. And she was doing all that. And I only ever knew her that once, but she was doing it day in, day out, week in, week out. She was carrying me when I was weak. And she got me into the presence of the Lord. So therefore, I didn't need that. What I needed was I got the strength to pick up my own bed and walk. Amen. That's what we do when someone is weak. We carry them in their situation. We speak the word of God over them till faith arises enough where strength can get in their own legs and they can carry their own weight and they can walk again. Amen. But you need community for that. You need to be part of a community for that. But see, most Christians are like the rest of us. We don't like being in that place of vulnerability. How good? How are you going? Yeah, really good, bro, really good. And all hell's breaking loose at home. I'm really good, bro, really good. Yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. And he's screaming, shouting, cussing at home. He ain't doing good. But you see, that's what holds us back from being vulnerable. But if you've got a community around you where you've allowed your vulnerability and a trust to develop, you can say to them, I ain't going too good. I need some help. Can you help me? And guess what? If it's true community developed by the Spirit, it'll work. Amen? So one way of carrying is doing community. Physical needs met. This man needed four men. This man needed four men. Four means what? Seasons. Four means seasons. This man needed a new season to happen in his life. Amen? This man needed I thought that man needed a new season. That's why he's waiting for us. But that's okay. He needed a new season. Four men to carry him in his weakness. Sometimes it's something to be carried by another. Four men to lift him up to a new level. Because we all need one another. The four had one mission, to get him to Jesus. Four men to get him to the presence of Jesus. And that's why I believe life groups are so vital in our community of church. Here's the question. Who am I carrying in prayer? Who am I standing with? Whom am I doing life with? Who can I be vulnerable with? Yeah. How many cars is it? Everyone who's parked on the street. Far side or this side? On both sides. No, we're not doing this side. He doesn't have to swing. You can swing on the outside. Well, he can just go and have a cup of coffee. Praise the Lord. If your car was on that side of the road, could you move your car, please? And we will show grace and mercy. Don't park at the back. He might block you in with his truck. Just move it and then come back and park again. Now for the rest of us. The devil's such a liar. Hey. Devil's a liar. Who around me has the strength to lift me up? Here's the key. And this is a real key for us as church folk. You are discipled in community. Do you know that? You're actually discipled in community. When you do community together, you're being discipled. Because the greatest thing that God uses in your life is not sermons. It's not. And it's not gifts of the Spirit to change you. It's not. I'll tell you what He uses. People. He will cause them to rub you up the wrong way. He allows them to speak the wrong things. He will do anything in His power to shape you to the vessel He needs. And it will be used. He will 99.999999 reoccurring percent. He will use people. Amen. But the same people that might be rubbing you up the wrong way one day will be stretching out their hand the next day to lift you up. Amen. That's why it's so important for us to be discipled in community. That's why as a church, we need to have an established life group, cell group, system where people are being discipled one to another and they have community. Amen? They have community. What am I going to do? What am I going to do with this newfound strength? What am I, when I get up out of my bed, when then people have carried me in my season of dilemma, what do I do then? To those with this newfound strength, I then do the same to others that have been that has been done to me. Amen. Go to another who was stuck and develop community. Reach out and my hand and bring them to the one who can heal me and he can heal them. His name is Jesus. And it usually starts in your house. It usually starts in your house. You're healed. You're discipled. Guess what? Develop community with those who need healing. Develop community with those who need a touch. And you take them and you pick them up and you might have to carry them to Jesus. Isn't that how the first church actually worked? Amen? Next slide, son. The book of Acts 1, verse 14 and verse 20. The 120 got into a place of being of one accord, a community of people. They became a community of people over all them days that were together, being in a place of prayer, serving one another in the upper room when the Holy Ghost fell upon them. It says they were of one mind and one accord. One mind, one accord. One mind, one accord. None of us are ever too big to serve. Paul became one of the greatest apostles, if not the greatest apostle that ever was, at that time, but he learned to serve. When he got shipwrecked on a boat, you have to move your car as well, love. When he got shipwrecked on a boat and he got in a place called Malta, all right, he got caught, it was Malta. What was the first thing Paul did when he got to Malta? Anyone remember? The first thing that Paul did when he got to Malta? They made a fire. Is that right? Did they make a fire? Who collected the sticks? Paul collected the sticks to make the fire. He never made himself big enough that he couldn't serve. Hallelujah. But if we want to experience a breakthrough and get into a new level, I have to be a person of prayer. They were in one mind, one accord. They are in a place of prayer. I have to be in a place of community. I have to be in a place of connection and fellowship with people. My prayer life is a place of intercession of upholding other people. I must learn to uphold other people. It brings an intimacy with me and my Lord. Amen. I have to be in a place where I am vulnerable and weak because of my connection. I'm safe with those around me who are strong in my time of weakness. Vulnerability is probably one of the greatest issues that we have in Christendom, because people are scared that they're going to be, their trust is going to be broken. Their trust is going to be broken. We who are strong to take care of the next level of people that are coming in, my thinking and getting the next level of thinking and getting myself to Jesus, the enemy wants to keep me outside the door. The enemy wants to keep me outside. He doesn't want me to enter the house. He doesn't want me to break through my ceiling. He's quite happy for you just to be with the crowd. He's quite happy for you just to play church. What he doesn't want is you to be church. Amen. He doesn't want you to come to the house. As long as you stay on the outside, he doesn't mind you seeing the miracles, as long as you are not the miracle. Amen. Because the minute you are a miracle, you have something that is powerful. And with the other thing that he's given you, the blood of the Lamb and the word of you had now a testimony. You overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You now have a weapon. When you've become the miracle, you now are a force to be dealt with. He does not want you to be the miracle. He doesn't mind you seeing miracles. He doesn't mind you even experiencing a miracle in church. He does not want your life to be a miracle, because if you have a miracle, you have a sword in your hand to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Your God and my God wants us to be the miracles. And then once we're the miracles, we've got the strength to get up out of my situation, roll up my bed so I can walk, bust through my ceiling and say, God, I refuse to live the way I'm living. God, I've got people around me that can help me, carry me into my next season of life. God, today I choose to bust through my ceiling of apathy, bust through my ceiling of lethargicness, whatever my ceiling is. God, I want to get into your presence. I need my miracle. And Lord, let me walk out in the midst of the crowd. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter about all their procedures. God, I want to be the miracle that causes people to see that you're alive. And in the midst of that, help me develop my community. Help me to be with people. Help me to stop isolating myself. That I can learn to trust people, and in my night season, allow them to pick me up. Amen. It's imperative. I believe the church is going through a phase worldwide where this old system ain't working anymore. He wants you to be the church, not just here, but out there. He wants you to pick up people who are broken and can't walk out there. And what do you do with them? You bring them to Jesus. You bring them to Jesus because of your testimony that he touched you, that he forgave you of your sins. Your sins are forgiven you. That's what he said to the man. Your sins are forgiven you. And he healed him. And the man could walk out the house. Amen. That's what he wants for your life. That's what he wants for my life. He wants me to not just be part of community, but to reach my community. Amen? But am I ready? Am I ready to get in that place of vulnerability? Am I ready to come into that place of community and fellowship? Because without it, I can have all the signs and wonders, but I am not alone in this. I need you. The Bible says this. The body grows by what every joint supplies. Is that what the Bible says? The body grows by what every joint supplies. There is not a joint that is one part. The minimum part of a joint is two. Therefore, you need me, I need you. And in that needing of one another, when I am weak, you can be strong. But when you're weak, I'll be strong. And I will pray you through your season. Amen. Who wants a body like that? Where we're reaching the community, touching the broken, and I can do it because he's touched me. My testimony, you've been discipled, you've been grown in the things of the Spirit, and now you become the discipler. And then when they grow and they get healed, they too become a discipler. Isn't that the Great Commission? Go into all the world and make. That's what he said. He did not say play church. Don't get me wrong, I love church. But this is not the sole purpose of Jesus. The sole purpose of the Great Commission is to make the broken walk. The broken get up. The broken getting through their ceilings and saying there's an answer to my problem. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Eh? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory, honor, and praise this morning. Father, help us this morning. Help us. I want to challenge you this morning. As we develop life groups, you need to get in a life group. And I'm not saying that is a good idea. You need community around you. You need to have community around you. I need to be discipled. And it won't happen here. It'll happen there. Hallelujah. But in the midst of that, if you've got something wrong with you, and you might be feeling alone, you might be feeling, I can't get up. It's all too much. I just can't get up. We're going to uphold your hands in the midst of your battle this morning. And tell you, you're not alone in the midst of your fight. Amen. And that we will get through that ceiling together. And you will get into the presence of your Maker, where he can touch you afresh and cause things that were once weak to become strong in your life. Hallelujah. If that's you this morning, you feel in your life there's something that's caused strength to ebb out of you, that has changed your walk, that in fact you're not walking, you're just in the presence. I know I'm just asking you to be vulnerable right now, but with every eye closed, please be vulnerable before your God. It's not to me, it's to him, and he won't let you down. If that's you this morning, you just raise your hands before the Lord and say, God, that's me. That's me. I'm coming to you raw. I'm coming to you exposed. I'm coming to you, Jesus. With a broken heart. That's me. I ain't walking the way I should be walking. I ain't doing what I should be doing. Father, this morning you see our hands raised. Father, we come before you vulnerable. But in the midst of the vulnerability, I thank you. You're going to cause me to have a breakthrough in my ceiling. And Lord, as I get lowered down, I know, Father, your hand is not short that it cannot heal or save me. So God, I thank you. Your arm is stretched out towards each one of these people this morning. Father, whether body, soul, or spirit, Father, I ask you for a touch like they've never been touched before. I thank you, Father, that they walk through the crowd and all that noise, Father, at the door. And Lord, they will get through where they have to get through, and they'll go back to their house, and they'll infect their house in the name of Jesus by the power of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. I thank you this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that they are their miracle. They are the miracle that you want. They are the miracle that you want, Father. That they are the sign. They are the wonder that you are trying to create in this hour to bring a testimony to your name. So, Father, release it this morning. The anointing that breaks every yoke. Thank you, Father, that you'll give them the strength to pick up their bed and walk out of that situation in Jesus' name. And if that's you, you shout amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. No 20-ton truck will stop me this morning. Glory to God. That's a one-off, that was. But that's okay. I will not be robbed of my peace. Amen. We're going to go and have a baptism now. I would love as many as possibly can to come, that we can hold her hands and show her how much we love her. Amen. And celebrate that she's come to a knowledge of what it means to be baptized. Hallelujah. So, I'm not going to say please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee because there isn't any. We're going down to Hillary's. Amen. You can have fish and chips after. But we're going to the hills and we're going to celebrate. Amen. And see someone baptized in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So God bless you. Have a good week, strong week, successful week, great week. In Jesus' name, amen.